We continue our study of how to become a man of God. I remember my father reflecting on an internal struggle he had around 1941. World War II was just beginning, and my father was a trained tractor mechanic and could fix cars and tractors. But war broke out, and he wanted to enlist immediately in the war effort to become a soldier of the United States Army. So he was going through the steps, and the local draft board said to him, "We need you here." And he said, "Why? I want to defend, protect our country." But the draft board said, "No, we need you to provide. We need you here to fix the tractors that provide the food." So he became, as he called it, a soldier of the soil. So he never went to World War II, even though he was at that perfect age and in great health, because he was needed here. Late in the war, he attempted again, and then the war ended. My father loved being a man, to be a provider, to be a protector, to be a defender. So today we're going to talk about being a protector and defender. The Bible right away shows us that there's a warfare going on. We read in 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life for which you were called upon when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." 2 Corinthians 10:4, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." World War III and more is going on. We are part of an epic battle. Men, join that battle. Enlist. And whether you are called to provide or protect or defend, be part of this battle. To be a man of God, you story your identity in the bigger fight against darkness, for light, for Christ, not against him, against the evil one. Now somebody will say, "Well, what are you doing? What does that mean?" No, it's about your heart. It's about being a man. It's about the defense of your home. Defense. Exodus 22:2, "If a thief is caught breaking in and is struck and that he dies, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed." This is a lot of debate, or there's a lot of debate right now on something like this. I like the fact that the Bible calls attention to defending your home against thieves, against destruction. You know, some of the stories that we've seen in the news of gunmen coming into a school and there's a courageous policeman or policewoman for that matter who steps in, or someone is in a church and some courageous men step in the way, some of them even losing their lives. In many nations of the world where there is persecution, where courageous men stand up and protect women and children, some of them lose their lives. This is powerful. This is servant masculinity. To protect your home is a good thing. To protect our society. Psalm 82:2-4. "How long will you defend the unjust? How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Instead, defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hands of the wicked." I have met many men, many godly men, in my ministry. And I have seen men who are so motivated to serve the needs of the defenseless. You know, there's no question, I believe in the rights of the unborn. And I believe that this is a defense that we need to continue to defend when we can those who have no voice. Some people will say, well, you know, that's not the masculinity I know. That masculinity kills, robs, and destroys. No, that's not masculinity. That's sin. That's hate. The masculinity created by God for a male to aspire to is one of protection, of the firefighter, of the policeman, of the family head who's would give his life for his wife. It's the one who stands in the way of a bully, the one who rescues those who are vulnerable, the one who stops and helps when there's been an accident. Defense of the faith. 2 Timothy 4, verse 15. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. When you see that somebody is attacking the faith and even looking like they are a Christian, but they are not a Christian, and God has given you discernment, yes, by all means, be a defender. I went to a college when I went in 1980 or 79, 83, and we were called, our mascot was Defender, the Dort College Defenders. And the thought there was to defend the faith. And Dort, the Synod of Dort, by which inspired the founding of this college, happened centuries ago. And its purpose was to defend the faith, that biblical faith would be promoted throughout the world. Become a rescuer. Proverbs 24, verse 11. Rescue those being led astray to death. Hold back those staggering toward slaughter. A lot of times we think of an evangelist as someone who's out there proclaiming the gospel. But also as a man, this is where we can tie into our rescuer to share the gospel, to rescue someone from destruction. To become a rescuer, yes, there's the literal rescuer, if there's an accident, to be there. Or maybe you have a child who is wayward, but to still have that heart of the prodigal son's father where every day you're praying and God has a purpose. And then when that son comes back, he opens his arms to rescue him, welcome him back. That heart of a rescuer is a powerful masculine trait. Finally, to become a restorer. Galatians 6 verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you will also be tempted. We do live in a broken world. And so many times, a brother, a sister, errs. And when a Christian falls, everybody quickly jumps on and tries to point out, you know, what a hypocrite that person was or is. And you know something? We are all hypocrites. We are all sinners in one sense. But born-again people, though we sin, we even grow. Born-again people are transformed into the image of Christ. And if someone has fallen, a restorer is someone who lends a hand to say, you can come back to following Jesus Christ. A restorer is not someone who overlooks sin. I'm not saying that. A restorer is not someone who is a party to sin. A restorer is one who sees brokenness and understands, like the Apostle Paul said, you know, I have a thorn in my flesh that keeps me from becoming conceited. When I am weak, then I am strong. When I think of the restorer aspect of my masculinity, I know that I am weak and I need the grace of God. I know I need Jesus Christ. So I don't want to be projecting to the world, oh, I've arrived. No, I know what it's like to receive forgiveness, redemption, restoration, because that happened to me. A restorer has that gentle heart to call people back. To be a defender, a protector, is something that's core into masculinity. If you're called to be in the armed forces in your country to protect citizens of your nation, that's an example where there's a civil understanding of your masculinity. But this understanding goes to the heart of who you are as a man of God. So here's my challenge for you today, is if you look at your life, what were some of those moments where that masculine role of protector or defender was present in your life? Maybe write that down. I was thinking, when did that happen to me? And I remember I had met someone who was becoming a Christian. In fact, she was a brand new Christian. And she was pressured by her her boyfriend to get an abortion. And she was such a new Christian. And I remember just going in there and just feeling that desire to protect that baby and even protect her from aborting that child. So I found someone to adopt the baby and called up this gal, and she agreed. To make a long story shorter, that child was born, was adopted, and now as I look back over 20 years, that child is doing great. And that mom has actually seen that child and feels so great about not doing the abortion. It's one of those things in life where it gives me great satisfaction to glorify God. But that is because a man of God seeks to protect. So who are some of those that you are now protecting and defending? How have you been used in that role in your masculinity? And may God continue to bless you as you grow as a man of God.